Last Sunday, we celebrated the 4th of July, and we used the 1662 prayer book that would have been in use at 1776. So that prayer book has only two readings. One is the epistle and the other is the gospel. So I'm going to read those two readings and then I will preach the sermon that I preached last Sunday. The epistle is written in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, beginning at the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Here endeth the epistle. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel is written in the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 43rd verse. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Happy Independence Day plus one. What a special year this is. 250 years. This country is remarkable for many things, but one thing it's remarkable for is that it has surpassed the expiration date of a democracy, which is about 200 years. I pray that we can keep this one alive for 250 more. I love July 4th. On Independence Day, we unite in our diversity, pausing to celebrate as one the founding of this nation. Something unusual, something remarkable, something unexpected was begun by our founding fathers, a nation dedicated to self-government and liberty under law. The concept of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people arose out of the humanism of the Age of Enlightenment. But it also owes much to the foundational beliefs of Christianity. President John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." We find these principles in the Bible. We go to Scripture to discover the nature of God and how God wishes us to live in relationship with God and with each other. We believe that Jesus Christ is the primary disclosure of God. Any Christian ethic must have something to do with Christ. The authors of the New Testament, primarily the Gospels, show us the true nature of God in Jesus. Through them, we can hear what Jesus said and observe what Jesus did. Jesus preached about giving up all to follow him. Jesus preached loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus called for a radical change in behavior that still seems impossible to achieve. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. While this does seem to be impossible, we do have in us the ability to rise above human selfishness, greed, and cruelty. We are children of God and are made in His image. We have that perfection in us. When we look at what Jesus did, his actions make possible our ability to follow where he leads us. Jesus was a friend of sinners and outcasts, those on the margins of society. Jesus offers forgiveness to those who repent of their sins. Jesus said, "Those who take up their cross and follow him are children of God." God, as seen through Jesus Christ, is love, forgiveness, and justice. God values all people. That universal love is the basis of our American belief in equal justice under law. The belief in equality is the star that has guided the United States through centuries of challenges and change, as that equality is defined in ever more inclusive terms. I am proud to be an American. Today, on this day of patriotic celebration, I want to reflect upon patriotism using the lens of Christian ethics. Patriotism and patriot have become slogans for groups to define who's in and who's out. We have lost sight of their original meaning. The Reverend Dr. W.F. Storer, a lecturer in practical theology and religion at the University of Aberdeen, has this to say about patriotism. Patriotism is the love shown in loyalty to a native or adopted country. As such, it must be scrutinized in the light of that greater agape, brotherly love that characterizes Christian social ethics. No country can legitimately make an absolute moral claim on the loyalty of the Christian or any of its members. We Christians are called to a greater love and an ultimate loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. Countries and nations are not part of God's original creation, but have developed in the course of fallen human history as provisional and changing communities bearing all the marks of moral ambiguity in their culture and institutions. It is identity in Christ and the gospel of the kingdom which offer hope and reconciliation in a divided world, not national identity and patriotism. And yet, Christians and all people live in the context of a range of social, cultural, and political communities. God created us as social creatures. The gospel both judges and affirms social context and identity, including the context of country and nationhood. Patriotism can be a worthy disposition for Christians in their earthly citizenship, framed within the wider loyalty and horizon of God's kingdom. Framed within the wider loyalty and horizon of God's kingdom. The love that Christians may show for their country must be discerning and discriminating. At its core, patriotism must be an affirmation of what is best in a country's history and life, including the humane and creative achievements of its culture, its struggles for greater justice and human affairs at home and in the wider world, and the expression of certain moral values in its public life and institutions. The scale for assessing the worth of one's country does not lie in some innate national spirit or identity, as in the wrongful claims of romantic nationalism that arose before and during World War II. Judging a country's worth lies in the human creativity and partial grasp of truth, which God gives to all humanity, even after its fall into sin and rebelliousness. Each culture and country may express that creativity and grasp of truth in its own distinctive ways, but no mere country is empowered with a monopoly of wisdom or possesses some unique destiny. It is the Church of Jesus Christ which is the herald of the coming kingdom of God, a community which draws its membership from every country and culture. Patriotism must not be confused with an ethnocentric or chauvinistic view of the world. The qualities and achievements that evoke a love for one's own country, however distinctive, should lead a true patriot to respect and appreciation for other countries and other cultures. No true love of country is blind to the failures, injustices, and shameful episodes that mark the history and contemporary life of every country. A true patriotism will expose all that is evil or morally compromised in its own country in the light of the gospel. Christian patriots like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor who was executed for preaching against the evils of Nazism, is a shining example of German patriotism. He preached the gospel of Christ in the face of lethal opposition, thereby showing the cost, honesty, and courage required for true love of God and country in Christ. Yesterday and today, united together as one, we celebrate the founding of our nation. We know that our country is not without fault, yet we can justly take pride in our country for walking time and again through the fires of change working to create laws and opportunities that help us to live together, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Let us never take for granted the privileges and responsibilities given to us as American citizens. I close now with a portion of the address Abraham Lincoln gave at the battle at Gettysburg, at the battlefield of Gettysburg on November 19, 1863. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. Lincoln concludes with these words: "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth." Amen.